left off in the previous shiur, discussing the concept of that makos. Gemara tells us in the end of Maseches Nida, if a woman has a makos, she has some kind of an irritation, some kind of a wound in that area, so under certain circumstances, we can be told about that makos, so we can assume that any blood that she saw must have been coming from the makos, and therefore that makos is going to be tohar. We had a machlekes that we showed that we left off with, a very important machlekes in the Rashba and the Mordechai. How exactly do we define the fact that she has a makkah? So the Rashba said that as long as she knows that she has a makkah, that's okay. We don't know necessarily that that makkah is bleeding right now. We don't even know this makkah ever bled. But if she has documented, a doctor saw, she knows, whatever, she figured out that she has a makkah ba'osa makkah, so she can be told about that makkah. And the Mordechai disagrees. The Mordechai says that that is not sufficient just to know that she has a makkah, but she has to have a makkah hayadua shemaitzi dam. It's a type of a makkah that she knows for a fact bleeds. So the, we learned at the end of the shiur 2 weeks ago that the shach qualifies that a little bit. The shach says it doesn't mean that she knows it's bleeding now, but she knows that it is a makkah that does bleed. So we gave some examples. A woman has some her cervix is irritated in such a way that she knows that every time she has tashmish, so the doctor tells her that's going to irritate the cervix, it's going to cause the cervix to bleed. So that's called the makkah hayadua shemaiti dam, according to the shach. So again, machlek is rishon, according to the Rashba, we need not know for a fact that it's motzi dam, and according to the Mordechai, we define motzi dam, but we have to know for a fact that it's motzi dam. How do we paskin lahalacha? So it's machlek is the mechaber and the Ramah. So we follow the Ramah's machmir, that we're chayshish for the Mordechai, that unless the woman has a documented makkah that we do a shemaitzi dam, so that's going to be a problem. We're not going to have a right to be toila on that. So continuing from that point, we left off with a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to speak a little bit about this Mordechai and the Rashba a little bit more, particularly about the Psach of the Ramah. We're going to take a little digression.
Why would the Ramah pass against Ashkenazic? You know, Mordechai is more Ashkenazic.
But he passes like the Mordechai, right. The Ramah passes like the Mordechai.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. So I want to speak a little bit about the significance of this Ramah, this Machlekes, the Rashba and the Mordechai, that plays out Lamaisa, but a little bit of a digression from Hilchos Nida proper. So we're going to speak about some important klalim now, which relate to general Sfeikas in Halacha. Of course, it's going to play out Lamaisa in terms of Hilchos Nida, but this is going to be the more of the Sheif Shmaita Shia than the Hilchos Nida Shia. So hopefully even those who got lost somewhere in the middle of the Ramah and the Mordechai and the Rashba, hopefully we'll be able to still enjoy today's Shia. So comes the Ramah and qualifies his Psach one step further. Comes the Ramah and says that we paskin like the Mordechai, that you require a makkah hayadua shemotzi dam. But what if you have a makkah she'en yadua shemotzi dam? The woman knows that she has a makkah, but she doesn't have a clue whether this particular makkah is bleeding. So says the Mordechai, says the Ramah, we can't be makel on that because it's only a safek. So we treat that as a safek, and we have a rule, safek deraisa l'chumra. So a woman has a little bit of blood coming out, so she doesn't know, is it coming from the makkah, or is it coming from the endometrium lining, or is it coming from the makkah? Since the makkah is not documented to be motzi dam, so we can't say bevados it's coming from the makkah, so we only say it's a suffix. So now we have a problem. We have a suffix from here, suffix from there. So what are you going to do? So suffix needs the chumra, so you have to be machmir. So says the Ramah, what if you have the following situation? What if the woman has what we call a sfeik in halacha? So the famous Gemara Maseches Ksubos Naftes tells us that even though we have a rule that sfeikah d'araisa l'chumra, whenever you have a doubt whether something is also a mutter, in the realm of the Torah, the realm of the Arai says you have to go to Chumrah. But if there's a double doubt, if there are two different reasons, two distinct reasons why it may be Mutter, maybe it's Mutter for reason A. And even if reason A doesn't apply, well, maybe it's Mutter for reason B. If you have two separate and distinct Svaras to be Mekil, so then we say Sveik Sveika is Lakula. So says the Ramah, let's see if we can use some creativity and create a Sveik Sveika on our hands. Says the Ramah as follows. We know that the only kind of dam that poses a problem in the first place is only dam that comes from the mocker, only dam that comes from the uterus, dam that comes from the endometrial lining. That's the given, that's the double portion like that. If a woman has bleeding coming from the tzdadim, coming from what the Chazal called the sides, so the tzdadim basically means everything except for the uterus. So the tzdadim may mean coming from the cervix, the tzdadim may mean from the vaginal area, may come from other places, wherever it's coming from, that's all called the tzdadim. So says the Ramah, what would that halacha be as follows? A woman comes and she's bleeding. She's got dam on her bdika klos, she has dam, she has tashmish, she has flow, whatever. She's got real blood. That would be a real problem on the level of the araisa. So comes her mom and says, but the woman doesn't have a clue where this blood's coming from. This blood may be coming from the tzdadim. Maybe it's coming from the uterus. Again, she doesn't have a doctor, she doesn't have a midwife, she's out in the middle of Hawaii. She has no way of ascertaining where this blood is coming from. So she has a real bona fide suffix. Either the blood is coming from the tzdadim, or the blood is coming from the uterus. You can't be mekel. You can't just say, oh, no problem. Maybe it's mutter and okay. It's a derais. It's a shalom. It's a kares. So of course she has to be machmer. But now she has another suffix. What's her other suffix? She knows that she has a macha in her mocha. She knows that she has some kind of a macha in the uterus. She went to the doctor last month. The doctor said you have a macha in your uterus, but she doesn't know whether it's a kind of a macha that's motzi dam or not. So we, if you all like the Rashba, if you all like the Svardim, like the Shulchan Aruch, as long as you have a macha, everything's okay. But we paskin like the Mordechai, like the Ashkenazi, Pishenim, like the Rama, that a macha which is not yadua shemotzi dam is only a suffix. So now she has, in a sense, a double suffix. She has suffix number one is, maybe the blood came from the uterus, maybe it came from the tzadim, the cervix, the vaginal, came from somewhere else. That's suffix number one. Suffix number two, even if it came from the uterus, which usually is bad, which usually is problematic, well, she has a makkah there. So even though the makkah is not yadua shemayt yidam, but at least a suffix, so a makkah she'eni yadua shemayt yidam, midei sveikah le'nafkah, is still blyped to suffix. So now she has just created for herself a 50-50, second 50-50 suffix. So she has what we call a lacha sveik sveikah. So suffix number one, maybe it came from the makkah, maybe it came from the tzadim. And imtim tzaloimer, even if it came from the makor, well, maybe it came from the makor and the makor, not from the endometrial lining itself.
If you take that sveik sveik at the end, Mordechai is thrown out. Because every single time you have a question, if dam makkis or not, it could be, theoretically, that dam came out tzadim.
Very good. Oh, very good. So the Ramah, so very good. Very good. So the Ramah says not that way. The Ramah says that the Mordechai is only talking about a situation where she knows that it's coming from the makor. She knows it's not coming from the tzadim. How does she know? This I can't tell you. So the Ramah says that the only time the Mordechai said it's a problem, that's if that first suffix doesn't exist. But lo yitzu that she has the first suffix, maybe it's from the tzadim, maybe it's from the makor. So then she's home free. She has a sveik sveika and shalom Yisrael. That's the famous kula of the Ramah. So we have to stop on this Ramah and ask ourselves, wait a second, do we understand this Ramah? What are the ramifications of this Ramah? And this is going to open up for us a whole discussion in terms of sveik sveikas and nidas and other kind of important topics, which again, lamaisa, 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 we very rarely are going to fall back on this Ramah, because b'zman hazeh, we've eliminated most of the sveikas in the chuzmaka. It's called going to the doctor and taking a look inside and seeing exactly where the blood is coming from. But in the old days, where that wasn't always such an option, so we have to work more with the kolam of sveikas. So again, whether lamaisa, anyone's going to follow this Ramah today, highly, I have yet to follow this Ramah, halach lamaisa, today. Very, very, kibat never happens. But the lumdus of this Ramah is critical in order for us to understand some basic yisodos in terms of sveikas, and particularly as they play out in terms of Bilchus Nida. So one thing that catches our attention for this Ramah is that the Ramah was willing to invoke the principle of sveik sveika in the realm of Hilchos Nida, which is something which, at first glance, is not so remarkable. I mean, manishtan Hilchos Nida from any other area of halacha. Sveik sveik is a real concept. Real sveik sveik is a din min haTorah. Sveik sveik is mater isurim deraisa. So why should we have any hesitation about applying the principle of sveik sveik in Hilchos Nida? So there are at least two different hesitations which we have to overcome in order to understand the significance of the Ramah. We have to stop and ask ourselves a basic fundamental question: is where did this principle of sveik sveika come from? What kind of halacha is this? Sveik sveika is mutter. We have a klal gadol in halacha called sveika deraisa l'chumra. So how come all of a sudden, hocus pocus, once you throw a second suffix into the mix, so all of a sudden it becomes mutter? Where did this idea come from? Why is it? How did Chazal figure this out? So the Gemara never tells us. The Gemara in Ksuba Stav Tesem and Aleph, which is the Mokra for Sveik Sveika, just says it as such a double portion. The Gemara says, Sveik Sveika, Sveik Sveika is Mutar. The Gemara never explains. Rashi never explains. Tais never explains. No one on the Taf explains. How did Chazal figure this out? Baruch HaKadosh, that Sveik Sveika is Mutar. Where did it come from? So there is a famous suggestion that a group of Acharonim had, Bidas HaRambam, to explain where this principle of Sveik Sveika comes from. It's prefaced upon the following. We know there's a klal gadol called Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. Everybody knows, whenever you have a suffix in halacha, so if it's a deraisa the gadin, you have to go L'chumra. Where did that come from? How do you know that that's true? So the Rambam has a comment in a few places, in Chostum Meis and other places, where the Rambam develops his theory that min haTorah, there's no such thing as Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. You know what the din deraisa is? If you find a piece of meat and you're not sure, is it kosher or is it treif? I don't know, 50-50 chance. So comes the Rambam and says, if you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, you're allowed to eat that meat. Moshe Rabbeinu would paskin, it's mutter to eat that meat. Sveika deraisa min haTorah is lakula, says the Rambam. Befeirish, the Rambam writes that way. We all know it's not true. There are Mishnayis that say befeirish, that Sveika deraisa is lachumra, says the Rambam. That din that we practice today, Sveika deraisa lachumra, is a chumra midrabanan. Means the Chachamim instituted, the Chachamim made up this Chumrah. The Chachamim said, it's pastish, it doesn't look right. You can have a piece of meat on the floor, you're not sure, maybe kosher, maybe terrific, you can eat it. How can we let such a thing go by? So the Chachamim made a Chumrah mid the Rabbanan not to rely on Sveikas. But you want to know, push comes to Minatorah. Minatorah, if you go to the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu, so Minatorah, nothing wrong. Minatorah, it's okay. You're allowed to eat the Suffolk Deraisa. Suffolk Deraisa is the Kula mid the Raisa. Famous Sheet, this Rambam, that appears explicitly in Parak Tess and Hukhus Tumas Meis and other places as well. So come a group of Acharonim, the Primogod, the Pnei Shul, the Gedali Acharonim, and say as follows. So now I have a Suffolk on a level of the Araisa. So the Suffolk Minat Torah is really Mutter. But mid the Rabbanan, I have a problem. Now, when I put into this equation Sveik Sveika, so what do I have? Once I introduce the second Suffolk into this equation, I now have a Suffolk whether I have the first Suffolk. So the first Suffolk was only a Chumah mid the Rabbanan, because Minat Torah all Sveik is a Mutter. So Suffolk the Araisa is L'chumah mid the Rabbanan. When I have a second Suffolk, what I really have is, I have a Suffolk, do I have a Suffolk? So I have a Suffolk whether I have an Issa the Rabbanan on my hand. So now the other halacha kicks in, called Sveik the Rabbanan L'kula. So comes a group of Achorim and say, B'da'as HaRambam, once you tell me that all Sveik is a Mutter Minat Torah, and only also mid the Rabbanan, whenever I have a second Suffolk in the equation, so it becomes a Suffolk the Rabbanan, and something to about it, takas l'kula. So that's the conventional wisdom, v'das ha-rambam. That's how you know that sveik is mutter. Every case of sveik is mutter is built on the premise, it's the corollary of the basic premise, that sveik is a mutter min ha-Torah. There's many echaronim of such a mahalach, v'das ha-rambam. If this is the case, then we have to ask the following question. Are there any cases where the Rambam concedes that Sveikas are also min HaTorah? Is there any situation where the Rambam holds that Sveika deraisa l'chumra? If that's true, that Sveika deraisa l'chumra min HaTorah, if we can identify such a case, so then clearly in that area of halacha, Sveika is not going to apply. If Sveik is only true because Sveika deraisa is a chumra min derabanan, so if I'll identify, I'll find your case. I'll dig up a scenario in halacha where the Rambam will hold that Sveika deraisa is l'chumra mid deraisa for whatever reason. So then obviously Sveika cannot apply in that area of halacha. What is a possible example of an area of halacha where the Rambam may concede? So according to at least one version of the Rambam, there are two gersos in the Rambam about this in Uchus Tumas Meis, but at least according to one gerso in the Rambam, in the realm of Isurei Kares, the Rambam may agree that Sveikas are l'chumra midaraisa. Why would the Rambam agree in the realm of Isurei Kares? Because there's a parasha of the Torah called Asham Toloi. The Torah tells us that if a person is not sure whether you violated an Issa Kares b'shayeg, let's say a person is not sure whether he ate chametz and pesach. He's not sure, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. So if he knows for a fact that he ate chametz b'pesach b'shayeg, then he has to bring a korban chatas. But if he's not sure whether he ate chametz b'pesach b'shayeg, then he has to bring a korban asham toloi. So comes the Rambam, at least according to one version of the Rambam, the Rambam asks, what do you have to bring a korban for? You didn't do anything wrong. If you would have asked Moshe Rabbeinu, can I eat the Suffolk chametz? He would have said yes, because all sveikas are mutter min haTorah. So says the Rambam, no, that this is a different type of a Suffolk. This is a Suffolk in the realm of an Issa Kares. So the Rambam only said that sveikas are mutter min haTorah. That's only in the realm of Yisrei Lavim. But in the realm of Yisrei Kores, the Rambam never said such a thing. The Rambam holds that Sveikas are l'chumra mid'araisa in the realm of Yisrei Kores. If that is correct, if that premise is correct, which is again highly questionable, if that premise is correct, then the corollary of that would be that Sveika won't apply in the realm of Yisrei Kores. What shayach to be mekel on a Sveika in the realm of Yisrei Kores if the whole yisod for Sveika is based on the fact that Sveikas are l'chumra mid'araisa, and that's not true concerning an Issa Kares. So again, we made a few jumps. We're working with the Rambam. We're assuming like the Rambam. We're assuming that the reason why Sveik is mutter is it's an extension of Sveikas being mutter min haTorah. But if that's the case, if those assumptions are correct, then in any scenario that the Rambam holds that Sveikas are l'chumra mid'araisa, Sveika won't apply, i.e. Yisrei Kares. That's one objection that some Acharonim have to applying Sveik in the realm of Hilchos Nida. How can you apply Sveik in Hilchos Nida? What shayach do we make on Sveik? Nida's in Yisrei Kares, so it's not subject to the kula of Sveik. That's what some Acharonim have an objection to. Last Thursday night, so I was speaking about this Rambam. I had to give a how to meet a group of boys in Yeshiva HaKotel. So they were learning Maseches Ksubas. So there are Punkah Daf Tes in Maseches Ksubas about the famous thing about Tzvei Tzveika. So I asked them about this Rambam, about the Rambam Shita, about Tzveika Deraisa, Luchumi Deraisa. So they said to me, yeah, of course the Rambam holds us in Chorus and Lavav. Everybody knows that. So I said to them, bring me a Rambam. So they brought me a Rambam. In the Franco Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis, which has that line of the Rambam in there. So I said, that's the problem. I said, you guys learned the Rambam with the Franco Rambam, but I was born before the Franco Rambams were around, so I learned in the regular Rambam. I said, bring me the regular Rambam. So in the regular Rambam, that line is written in brackets. It's written, see, and the Franco Rambam was so convinced that that line about the Rambam distinguishes between Lavam and Karis is so right that they already put it into the text of the Rambam itself. So I said, I learned the old style Rambam where that line is in brackets, so they were looking eye open. First, they didn't even know Rambams existed before the Franco Rambam. But the old Rambam, that line was in brackets because it was Machlekes and Gersos. Where did that line even exist altogether? Anyway, getting back to the story. So that's one possible objection to the Shittas Rambam. Could we defend the Ramah? Could we say that the Ramah wasn't concerned with this Rambam? So it's possible that the Ramah held that Sveik Sveik, of course, applies in Hilchos Nida. You know why? Who said that a whole lumdus of Sveik Sveik is right? That's the only way to explain the mechanism of Sveik Sveika. There's a totally different approach to Sveik Sveika that's given that appears in the Tshuva Rashba. The Rashba writes that, why is Sveik Sveika mutter? So the Rashba says, I'll tell you why Sveik Sveika is mutter. It's very simple. Every Sveik Sveika is what we call in Halacha a rov. It's a majority. The odds are that it's going to be mutter. Why the odds are that it's going to be mutter? So I always call this the blackboard rove. Whenever I say share on this, in yeshiva I always draw the four boxes on the board. It's a blackboard rove. What's the blackboard rove? There are four logical possibilities. So three of the four logical possibilities point in the direction of being mutter. One possibility is that it's aser. But the three out of the four logical possibilities point in the direction of being mutter. So there's a 75% chance that it's mutter. Why is it called a blackboard rove? Because the numbers are a joke. It's not true statistics. That means anyone in the math background will tell you, that's not statistical correct. That I have no idea. I didn't tell you what the odds of any given box are. So I have no idea what the reality is, but that's still called a rove according to the Rashba. Since on the board, you have four logical possibilities, three of the four point in the direction of being mutter. So if you go with the root of the Rashba, that Sveik Sveik is based on rove, so then it's going to work even in Isur HaKaris. Rove works in all areas of Halacha, even Isur HaKaris. So we're not that concerned with the Ramah. The fact that the Ramah invoked the principle of Sveik Sveik and Hilchos Nida is not such a shocker. It's just an interesting ha'arah that we made, that according to the Rambam, it's possible it wouldn't be true. According to the Rashba, for sure it's true, and according to others, for sure it's true. So the fact that the Rambam was willing to invoke Sveik Sveik and Isurei Kares, that's good for us. That means in Hilchos Shabbos we can invoke Sveik Sveik, in Hilchos Chametz we can invoke Sveik Sveik, in Hilchos Yom Kippur we can invoke Sveik. We have a lot of Isurei Kares out there, so we don't have too many hesitations about invoking Sveik Sveik and Isurei Kares. But the Rambam may have, according to some Achronim, there may have been a problem of invoking Sveik Sveik in Hilchos Karis. But there's another problem with this Ramah, and that is as follows. The Mishnayos already tell us that even though we have general rules in Halacha, Sveik Deraisa L'Chumra, Sveik Sveik L'Kula, those are the Klal Gadol in Pasuk and Shailas, all of those rules fall by the wayside when we're in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. What is the Halacha when you have a Sufik in Hilchos Tumah? I don't know. Did this person touch the dead body? Did he not touch the dead body? Did he touch the dead mouse? Did he not touch the dead mouse? Is he Tom? Is he Tor? What happened? We don't know. So what do you do? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, what's the problem? Sveik Deraisa L'Chumra, Sveik Sveik L'Kula. So comes the Mishnah and says, neither of those rules are applicable in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. Why? What are the rules in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara? A whole different ballgame, the Gemara says. It depends where the Suffolk took place. Where's the Makom of the latest Suffolk? If the Suffolk took place in a Rishus HaYochid, if it took place in a private area, then all Sveikas are L'chumra. Even if you have 100 Sveikas that point in a direction that it's probably okay, it's probably Tahar, doesn't matter. Kol Sveikas HaTayoch L'Harbos, Rishus HaYochid, Sveiko Tomei. It's a very Shemishnah. What about the latest Asafik happened in the Rishus HaRabim, happened in a public area? So then, Kol Sveikas, a Mutter, even a Asafik Echad is Mutter in a Rishus HaRabim. Where did in the world of these Klolim come from? They don't make any sense. So the answer is, these are all Halacha L'Moshe Messina. These two Klolim are Halacha L'Moshe Messina, which are derived from a very, very specific scenario in the Torah called Sota. The Torah sets up for us a scenario where we have a Sufik. The Torah very rarely addresses Sveikas explicitly, but in Parsha Sota it does. The Torah speaks about, you have this woman who we're not sure whether she's a Surah Labayla or not. Why are we not sure? We have a Sufik. The husband told her not to go into a room with somebody. She violated the words of the husband. So he gave her kinu. He warned her not to go. She did stira. She violated the warning. And now we have no idea. Was she mizana? Was she not mizana? I have no idea whether she was mizana. We don't have any edim, whether she was or she wasn't. So we have a problem. So what's the din? So comes the Torah and says, v'nitma'a. Comes the Torah and says, this woman is a surah labayla yalapod. She can no longer live with her husband because she's a suffik eshazisha zinsa. Do we know for sure she was mizana? We don't know for sure. We don't have ruach hakodesh. We don't have edim. But we have a suffik. There's a latest a suffik that she was mizana. And the Torah tells us, v'nitma, she's a surah to her husband. Now the Torah also gives us a very unique way to be mevar the suffik. Usually we're mevar sveikas, not through supernatural means. Usually we're mevar sveikas through edim, through edecha, through rose, through chazokas, through klolim and halacha. Here, very, very rare, the Torah gives us a way to be mevar suffik through using some kind of a spiritual method called drinking the meisota. The Torah promises us that if the woman drinks the meisota and everything is done properly and shitaka comes out clean, so then then she's muteres, she becomes muteres to her husband again. But kozman, that she doesn't drink the meiselta, there's no way to be revived the suffix. We don't have any edim, so there's no way to be revived the suffix, so she remains a surah liolim vod. That's what the Gemara says in Sota, that a husband has to be very careful, bisman is then never ever to give kinui to his wife. He should never warn his wife not to be in a room with somebody, because if he does that, and she violates his words, so then you have a shot of a sota on your hands. So you have a sota, how can you be revived the suffix anymore? We don't have meiselta, so the couple's going to have to get divorced. So the Gemara says a person should never ever give kinui to his wife bisman hazeh, because you may have disastrous consequences. So getting back to the story, so comes the halacha and tells us we have this latest asafik that's not resolved until we drink the meiselta. So the woman is asura to our husband. So comes the Gemara and says, really, this is an interesting illustration the Torah is giving us. Now, the Torah uses a very, very strange word describing the isra of selta. The Torah uses the word tuma. Tumah, we usually think tumah means touching dead bodies, touching dead mice, that's usually tumah. Here the Torah calls this also tumah, like a rayas, it's also considered to be tumah. So comes the Gemara and says that we have a halacha Moshe Mesinai, that since the Torah describes sota as tumah, we can derive the regular halachas of tumah from sota in the following sense. That just as sota is a suffik l'chumra, we don't know whether she's a surah or not, but the Torah says you have to make believe she's a surah, so too all sveikas and tumah are l'chumra, if they're similar to Sota. What is the similarity of Sota? What is the unique feature of Sota? It's in private. It's in private. There's only two people there. The woman and the man who she's being miyachid with. So comes the Gemara and says, Kozma, you have a private area of less than three people. That's called the Rishus HaYochid. And all sveikas that take place in the Rishus HaYochid in Tuma always l'chumra. But once you have three people there, so then, as the phrase goes, three is a crowd. So once you have three people there, that's called the Rishus HaRabba. You don't need 600,000 people for Chashamas. Once you have three people there, it was just in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago with the Bikur, which is the Yochad, the Tumah, the Shabbos. No, wasn't just there. Wasn't just recently in Daf Yomi. I think it was a couple of days ago. About the place that's about me, motzi miyad me. So the Gemara said, if you have a bikkur of bisman, be mosachames, which is a yochid lezev, right? That's the din of suffik to mishnah, right? So it wasn't part of the regular sugya. It was like two lines that got thrown in, tangentially. So comes Aloch and says that anytime you have an area that's private, nobody walks there, so that's called the rishus hayochid. So all sveikas there are lechumra in terms of ichus tumah, whereas in a rishus harabim, there are more than three people there, that's called the rishus harabim, and all sveikas are lekula in the realm of ichus tumah. Those are the two klom that appear in the Mishnayos.
You're saying that if you have two doctors checking it out, that's rishus
harabim? Right. Pretty impressive, huh?
Let's
wait and see. Okay, so come the Rishonim and say, wait a second. How should we view Hilchas Nida? So is Hilchas Nida a case of Tumah V'Tahara? I think so. Sounds like it's Tumah V'Tahara, right? The woman is Tameh, either she's Tameh or she's Tahora. So if you view Hilchas Nida as Tumah V'Tahara, so in Lechora, all the rules of Sveika shouldn't apply anymore. So listen to this. We're going to rewrite a whole new Shulchan Aruch on Hilchas Nida. It depends where the Sveikas take place. If a woman finds a Shaila, she's not sure she needs it or not, where does she find the Shaila? So if she finds the Shaila in the bathroom, she's there by herself, it's Rishus HaYoch, it's private, so then everything goes to Chumrah. So either it's a Safek Yechad, it's the Chumrah, even it's base Sveik, it's the Chumrah, 100 Sveik, all Sveik, everything is the Chumrah, because it's Rishus HaYoch. Masha'enkein, if she realizes the Shaila, all of a sudden in the middle of the street, she has a latest Safek, there are 100 people around, that's called the Rishus HaRabim. So now all Sveik is in need, should go to Kula, because Safek Tum Rishus HaRabim is Lakula. So lo shamanot of azem yalom. You learn all of the chasdid, all masechas did. No one ever made such a ridiculous assumption that the dinim of nida depend on where she was when she found the sofik. It's mamash absurd. So why not? Taka, why is that not true? So why, in effect, does the Ramah say that the regular rules of Issa the Heter apply? Why, how dare the Ramah rely on the principle of Sveik Sveika being Mutter in the realm of Tumah? Sveik Sveika is meaningless. The Ramah should have said, she found the Suffolk in the bathroom, she found the Suffolk in a bedroom, she found the Suffolk in a Mokom, which is a Rishus HaYochid, which is a Mokom when there aren't people around. So even all the Sveik Sveikas in the world should still be the Chumrah. So how dare the Ramah apply the principle of Sveik Sveika? Didn't the Ramah realize that Hilchos Nida is just a regular plain din of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara? So what do you see from this Ramah? What conclusion do we walk away from this Ramah? So comes Tosfos in Maseches Bava Kama, of all places, Yud Aleph, which the Ramah is in effect alluding to without actually calling it by name. And Tosfos says the following distinction. Tosfos says, whenever you have a Suffolk in Hilchos Nida, which rules do you follow? Do you follow the rules of Suffolk Tumah? Or do you follow the rules of Suffolk Issa V'Heter, namely Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra, Sveik Sveika L'Kula? What is Hilchos Nida? Is Hilchos Nida Hilchos Tumah, or is Hilchos Nida Hilchos Issa V'Heter? So some of you may remember the first line we said when we opened up the Shia. We said, not the Shia, the first Shia, 6 months ago, we said that every Shia in Hilchos Nida has two parts to it. There's a Shia whether the woman is Temeya, there's a Shia whether the woman is Asura. So 99.99999% of the Shia's today are irrelevant whether she's Temeya or not. We don't care. Everyone's tummy makes. What do we care whether she's Temeya or not? We want to know whether she's Asura or not. So comes Tosfos and says, when you have a Shia in Hilchos Nida, so which set of rules do you plug in? Do you plug in the Kashrus rules of Issa V'Heter, of Sveikas to Chumra, Sveik Sveik L'Chumra? Or do you plug in the Tumah V'Tahara rules of Suffolk Tumah B'Shus HaYochad L'Chumra, Suffolk Tumah B'Shus Ra'am L'Kula? Which set of rules do you pass in the Shia with? The two different sets of rules min HaTorah. Their Isa the Geshailas are paskin differently depending on which area of halacha they're in. So where does the chaznida fit into the pattern? Says Tosfos in Bavakam and Daf Yud Aleph, it depends which dimension of the chaznida you're paskinning. If you have a shaila whether the woman is Temeya, then you have to go with Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. If you have a paskin shaila whether the woman is Asura, then you have to go with Hilchos Issa V'Heter. And you could have a bizarre conclusion. You could have a situation where a woman comes with a shaila, am I a nida or am I not a nida? And listen to the answer, min HaTorah. You are a nida in terms of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, but you're not a nida for Hilchos for Bailech, or vice versa. You are a nida for your husband, but you are not a nida for Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. A woman had a suffix. She finds a suffix of a shayla in the Rishus Rabbim. So for a husband, we have to pass in L'chumra, because Sveika Deraisa is L'chumra, but for a taras, we're going to pass in she's Tahura, because it's a suffix in Rishus Rabbim. Or vice versa, you have a sveik sveika in the Rishus HaYochid. So we're going to pass in for her husband that she's Muteres, and for the tumas, she's Tameps. How ridiculous. A whole new world. Says Taisa, that's right. That's the din. Taisa says that Hilchos Tumah L'Chud and Hilchos Baila L'Chud, that's the din on the love of Deraisa. We could split the psak on the love of Deraisa. Whether that's a good idea, we spoke about this, but to the Sashes, like some of them, is this a good idea to do for the Balabatim? Is a different story. But in the perfect world, in a Torah, such a split psak exists that a woman can be a need of Hilchos Tumah and not necessarily need of Hilchos Sveheter. So that's exactly what the Ramah is telling us. The Ramah is telling us that we ignore the klolim of Tumah V'Tahara and we pass it Hilchos Nida Shailas. We only go with the klalim of Issa V'Heter, and the klalim of Issa V'Heter are Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra, Sveik Sveika L'Kula. This is quite an eye-opener in terms of Ramah. So this is already a very basic, fundamental, really a fundamental question to the very essence of Hilchos Tumah in terms of Hilchos Nida, the following Lamdisha Shaila. Really a Lamdisha Chakira that we should have asked on day one, but I held it off until today. So Lamaisa, a woman has a Riyaz Dam. So we know for a fact that two things happen in halacha. There are two halachic ramifications of a Riyaz Dam. One is she becomes Temeya, so if she touches food, it becomes Tama, she can't eat kachim, she can't go to Beis Hamikdash, that's all the parish of Tumah. And she also, parenthetically, she also becomes a Surah Labayal, but in a Sakaris. So Riyaz Dam creates two different things. Yesh Lachkor, fundamental Chakira, what's the nature of what happens? What's the cause, what's effect? What's the chicken, what's the egg? What's happening over here? Do we say that a Riyaz Dam creates two different consequences? It has two totally different effects. It affects Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, and then it also affects Hilchos Issa V'Heter. The two different effects that are caused by one action, the one Riyaz Dam, has two halachic consequences. Is that the pshat? What's pshat? No, that's not what happens in Hilchos Nida. What happens in Hilchos Nida is as follows. A Riyaz Dam does one thing. A Riyaz Dam makes the woman Tameya b'Tumas Nida. That's all it does. There's one effect of Riyaz Dam. Riyaz Dam creates the Tumas Nida. the halacha says that whenever a woman is tameya betumas nida, there's an iser lavo aleha. There's an iser labayla. There's an iser to have relations with someone who is tameya betumas tumas nida. A woman is tameya betumas meis. There's no iser of the bala. This is tameya betumas sheret. She touches the sheret. There's no iser of the bala. But a woman who was in the status of tuma for the dinim of tumas nida has an iser labayla. So what's pshat? Is riyas dam create two separate consequences, or does riyas dam create only one consequence, and that consequence itself in turn gets the ball rolling, creates an issa labayla? My nafkamina, this is all the nafkamina in the world. I mean, does it make any sense to say like this taisos, like the Ramah? Does it make any sense to split the psach? Is that a tenable position that you're asura but you're tahora? Can you say that in a straight face? You're asura but tahora, or you're tumeya but muteres? Can you even make such a statement? So if you hold that riyas dam creates two separate consequences and nothing to do with each other, it happens to be that she's tumeya. It happens to be she's asura. 99% of the time when she's tumeya, she's asura. When she's tahora, she's muteres. That's true. But you can split. I mean, there's nothing conceptually wrong with splitting between the two. It is logically feasible to have such a scenario where you're tumeya but muteres, you're tahora but asura. Could be the riyas dam kicked it in one part of the equation, didn't kick it in the other part based on the unique quirk of circumstances of the klali of psak. But if you hold the seventh side of the chakira, that riyas dam equals tuma, and then tuma creates the isser, so that you can't even get to the batter's box. How can you make such an absurd statement that you're tahora but asura? How can I be tahora and asura? How could I say I'm tameya but muteras? Doesn't make any sense. If you're tameya, then you're asura. If you're tahora, then you're muteras. You can't split between the two. So Taisus and the Ramah are splitting between the two. Taisus and the Ramah are taking a stand, saying that Hilchas Nida Labayla is fundamentally different from Isser, from the Dine Nida Lagabi Tuma Vitara. And on a level of Dereis, you can actually split between the two. Do we have any other Makairis, of any other indications from other areas of Halacha what the Din should be? So one of the more fascinating Mar Makomos that's given about this fundamental Chakira is not from a Sefer that we usually associate as a Sefer Psach Halacha, it's a Sefer Akuzari. Probably the last place we would find to think of a Mokhala Halakha from, but the Sefer Kuzar, Rabbi Dalevi. So what in the world is Rabbi Dalevi? How did he get mixed into this Lamdash HaKira? So Rabbi Dalevi, remember the background, the historical background, it was a Sefer that was written to try to defend Torah mitzvahs in contrast to other religions. So he put it into the historical background of the Melech HaKuzarim, the king of the Kuzarim, interesting personality in the Middle Ages who wanted to convert to some religion. He was an Ovid of Hazar, the idolatrous tribe living out in the middle of Russia, and he wanted to become religious, so he wasn't sure which religion to adopt, so he brought in a, that sounds like a joke, he brought in the rabbi, the priest, and the imam, whatever, the head of the Muslim group, and he was asking them questions about the religions. So finally the rabbi went over, the chacham beat out the other religions, and he convinced the Melech HaKuzarim that in fact Torah was the true religion. So and in fact, that historically happened. There was a group of the Kuzarim in sometime in the Middle Ages who actually converted to Judaism, and there was actually kingdom of the Kuzarim for quite a while, and then over the years it got destroyed and disappeared, and whatever remnants of it got mixed into some people probably did get mixed into Klal Yisrael, most people probably got lost along the way, whatever it was, this Melech, this interesting society of the Kuzarim from 1500 years ago. Anyway, so Rabbi Dalevi in the Middle Ages wrote a Sefer, like a historical Sefer, so to speak, like a historical novel, trying to figure out what took place at that in the mind of the Melech HaKuzarim. What exactly were the give and takes of that philosophical debate from that had taken place hundreds of years before Rabbi Dalevi? So Rabbi Dalevi wrote the whole Sefer Kuzari, trying to show the truth of Judaism in contrast to the other religions. So one of the issues that comes up in the Sefer Kuzari is that the Melech HaKuzarim asks the rabbi, asks the chacham, he says to him, I don't understand. He said, your main claim, Jews' main claim, is that Torah was given at Har Sinai, which is the truth, is what the other religions also claim. The Christians also accept that. The Muslims also accept that. There was a revelation at Har Sinai, the Torah was given, the Chumash Torah, etc. But your fundamental claim is that the same Torah is binding as it was at the time of Har Sinai, which is what the Christians don't say, what the Muslims don't say. So the Melech HaKuzarim turns to the rabbi and says, but I don't understand you, Jews. He said, you claim that the Torah is still binding. You say you keep all the mitzvahs and nothing has changed. It's not true. You don't keep all the mitzvahs. I'm reading Sefer Vayikra, and I read all about Tumba Vitara, and he said, you're not keeping Tumba Vitara. You don't keep Tumba Vitara anymore. So the same way you don't keep Tumba Vitara, the Christians don't keep Shabbos. The same way you don't keep Tumba Vitara, the Muslims don't keep this. What's the difference between you and them? You also don't keep what it says in the Chumash. So the Chacham explains to the Melech HaGazam, he said, no, just open up the Chumash and read it carefully. You'll see the Torah never says that you're not allowed to become Tameh. The Torah says, if you become Tameh, then you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah says, if you become Tameh, you can't eat Truma. If you become Tameh, you can't eat Karbanos. So he says, we also observe Tumah V'Tahara. We observe the Isser that when we're Tameh, we don't go to the Beis HaMikdash. When we're Tameh, we don't eat Kachim. When we're Tameh, we don't eat Truma. We don't have Truma today. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. We don't have Karbanos today. So we're not observing the Torah. The Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara just don't apply anymore because all the Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara are supposed to enable us to eat Kachim and go to the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tahara. We don't have that. But in the Seder Ram, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So Mamela, we don't keep Tumah V'Tahara. Mehevi, Yavon HaMikdash, we'll go back to keeping Tumah V'Tahara. That was the response of the Chacham. So the Melech HaChazarim wasn't satisfied with that response. So the Melech HaGazarim turns around to the Chacham in this beautiful give and take, and he says to him, I don't understand you then. If you're telling me that Tumah V'Tahara doesn't apply, so then why do your wives still go to the mikvah? Why do you still keep Hilchos Nida? Why do you keep Taras HaMishpacha? So the Chacham responds, he says, no, don't you understand? Did you ever learn Taisus in the Ramah? He said, don't you understand that Tumas Nida Luchud and Issa Nida Luchud? That's what the Rabbi Halevi says. He says that the fact that a woman becomes Tanea when she becomes a Nida, that Taka doesn't apply for us anymore because we don't have Kashim, we don't have Trum, we don't have Maschanim, we don't have Karbanos. She's not going to the Beis HaMikdash. So Taka doesn't interest us. But there's a totally and completely separate aspect, separate dimension of Nida that he says has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. That the halach is when a woman has a Riyas Dam, she becomes a Surah Labaila. Not because she's Tameya, says Rabbi Levi. He repeats it. Not because she's Tameya. He said she becomes a Surah Labaila because Tumas Nida Luchud and Issa Nida Luchud. So the later Achorim quote this Rabbi Levi. So in Rav Yosef Engel in the Sefer Asman Der Aisa quotes this Chakira about what the relationship between the Issa Nida and the Tumas Nida is, and he quotes this Rabbi Levi as a Mokal Halacha. So he said, you see from Rabbi Levi's whole presentation to the Melech HaGazarim that he was working with the assumption with the Lomdus that Tumas Nida Luchud and Issa Nida Luchud. Do we have any other Makaris besides Rabbi Halevi? It's time for a strange Makaris. So we'll find another strange Makar. So another strange Makar is a Pasuk in Chumash. There's a Pasuk in Chumash, almost Beferish, that says the same idea. It's based on the way the Vilna Gaon read a shot in a Pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says in Parashat Shoftim, Ki Yipolei Mimcha Davar LaMishpat, when you have a Shaila in Halacha, so what do? You have to ask the Rabbanim. So you ask the Rabbanim in town. So what if the Rabbanim in town don't know? So you go to the bigger Rabbanim, and what if they don't know? So eventually you go up the line, up the Lahav, to the Supreme Court, you go to the Beis Nagvelo in Rishalayim, Apiya Davar She'erucha, Apiya Torah She'erucha, Lof Sosmer Davar, etc. So that's how Shailas were always paskin for hundreds and thousands of years. So comes the Torah in the parasha of Lo Sosa, the parasha of going to the Beis and Agola, introduces to us that there are three different areas of halacha you can have shailas in. Ki yipolei mimcha davar lemishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega. That's the introduction of the parasha. Three different types of shailas. So the Vilna Gaon comments that those three different types of shailas are all examples of different areas of halacha. There are three, all of the Torah is broken down into three different categories of halacha. Ki yipolei mimcha davar lemishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega. So what are those three areas? So bein nega lenega is a chusaras. Is the tzaras tami, is the tzaras, sometimes you have a shaila, sometimes the kohen doesn't know. You have to ask a shaila, is this tzaras tami, what's the din? So the kohen has to make the declaration, tami and tahar, but the kohen sometimes does, not necessarily a bok and hukhas negayim, so sometimes he's got to ask a shaila also. So the Beis Nagol has to tell him what to say, and then he says the words, tami and tahar. So nega, lenega is an example of a shaila nukhas tumu v'tara. What does ben din ledin mean? That's a shaila and dinim amenis. What is ben dam ladam? Dam ladam is a shaila nukhas nida. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Sanhedrin. Is the dam tome? Is the dam tome? Is it red? Is it brown? Is it yellow? Whatever. Is it a maratar? Maratome? So these are the three different, these are the three prototypes of halachic shailas that are asked. That were asked in the olden days, and usually we don't have tumu v'tara today, but at least two out of three we still have. There are shailas in the Heter, there are shailas in Dinim Mamonis, and there are shailas in Tumah V'Tahara. There are three different categories of halacha, and all three have to go to the Beis Nagol and get a psak. So, out of all the examples of Issa Heter the Torah could have given, why did he give Ben Dam Ladam V'Chus Nida? Why didn't it say Ben Malacha L'Malacha? Why didn't it say Ben Tefillin Kashin L'Tefillin Pasul? Ben Shchita L'Shchita? Why didn't he give shailas in other areas of halacha? It gave a shailas in V'Chus Nida. So, that's the example. That is the prototype of a shailas in Issa Heter. If you hold that Hilchus Nida is not really a Hilchus, it's not really a Svehete, Hilchus Nida is Tumah V'Tahara, so that it's subsumed under Ben Negel and Nega. So it's part of the Ben Negel and Nega Shailas. So from the fact that the Torah delineated three different areas of Allah, and Hilchus Nida is the category of Svehete, you see from here that Hilchus Nida is Svehete, Hilchus Nida is not Tumah V'Tahara, Hilchus Nida is Svehete. It's the best case, it's the ultimate case of Svehete. So this is also the same idea as Rabbi Dalevi is expressed in the Sefer Kuzari, which is what Tosfos Bava Kamma is expressing under Ramos, saying la'alocha, that Hilchos Nida is not Tumah V'Tahara. Hilchos Nida is Issa V'Heter. The fact that she's Tameya just happens to be. She's Tameya and Asura most of the time, but not necessarily. You could be Tameya and Tahora, you could be Tahora and Asura. Those two things are not contradictions min Neyube. That's when a Rav answers a Shaila about Amara, so some Rabbanim use the phrase Tameya Tahor. So I never use those terms. I always say Asura Mutter. Two reasons. First of all, people don't like to hear the word Tameya. The conscience of bad image. And number two, it may not be halakhically correct. I'm not paskeding the Tumah V'Tahara Shalom. I'm paskeding the Issa V'Heter Shalom. So I'll always use, say the words Asur Amutah rather than Tumah V'Tahara. If a Rav says something else, don't worry. It just means he didn't think about the Sol Shtukh Torah. But anyway, getting back to the story. So the bottom line is the Ramah paskins that Hilchos Nida is Issa V'Heter, not Tumah V'Tahara. And therefore, Sveik Sveika works. And notwithstanding the Rambam Shtukh Torah, Sveik Sveika works in Hilchos Nida. And we have no qualms with applying the regular principles of Issa V'Heter to Hilchos Nida, which seems to reflect the idea of the Rebbe Levi and the Vilna Gaon. Shot in the Pasuk in Pasha Shoftim as well. Hopefully on next week we'll talk a little bit more in terms of alumnus about this Ramah and then move on back to regular scheduled Hilchos Nida.